Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A word of encouragement from the riots. I'm sorry, I meant peaceful protests. Boing, this is Wretched Radio. Words, the meanings, they seem to be changing. I used to think peaceful meant you don't burn down stuff and hurt people. Apparently, these days, you can and still be considered a peaceful protest. And perchance, that's right. For my King James Version only friends, perchance you have been a little bit consternated, upset, maybe even angry as you watch people looting and rioting in the streets. And maybe, just maybe, it was less of a righteous indignation and more of a just, what is the matter with those people? And that is where the encouragement comes in. Consider the crowds in the Bible. There are many. Starting in the Old Testament, we see people gathering together to do nefarious things. And there's always something that motivates each and every one of these riots. And you and I, if we are wise, we will study the crowds in our Bible, learn something from them, and be encouraged. Let's see if we can do that, shall we? How's about, for starters, the people before the flood, getting together in a crowd to do debaucherous things? How's about the Tower of Babel, where people got together to do rebellious things? How's about the children of Israel getting together to say, no, God, don't want you. We want a king like everybody else.
Where's the encouragement?
It's coming, man. It's coming. If you don't have the rotten news first, then there's no good news. That's the biblical order.
Absolutely.
The next time somebody says to you, do you want the good news or the bad news? If you're going to be biblical, you say the bad news first.
That's right.
Because there's no good news without bad news.
Amen.
I see.
Now, does that make perfect sense? No.
Carry on.
But I said it came from the Bible. So these days, that's good enough.
That's all that matters.
Whoever tests what somebody says about the Bible anyway. Crowds throughout the Old Testament gathered to do something really similar. The thread throughout it is to rebel against God. That is what we see in crowds. Furthermore, as we scoot to the New Testament, we see all kinds of crowds, don't we? How's about the crowds that gathered to crucify Christ? How's about the crowds that would gather to brutalize the Apostle Paul? Or to stone Stephen? Crowds are throughout the Bible, and while they all did varying things, behind their motivations was always, we hate God, and we want to do our own thing. Crowds, the stirring up of people, when they get together, it's easy to do. And here comes your encouragement, Mr. Anxious.
I'm ready for it.
You and I would have joined those crowds. We would have jumped in, ashamed. I hear my mocking voice call out amongst the scoffers. If it were not for the regenerating work of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and in my life, or if it were not for the common grace of God, you and I would be dancing in the streets with clubs. You and I would be joining them. And so if you've been watching these people and it's like, ah, those people, what's the matter with them? Maybe a better question is, what's right with me and how did that happen? And the answer is God's kindness to us. When we forget that we were not a hair's breadth away from being those people, we were those people. That was you and I. That would be a predicate nominative, right? Yeah, that was you and I. Only because God has rescued us do we think a little bit better. It's not significantly better, frankly, because compared to the way God thinks, we are so far away. And yet, only because God has fixed our brains to a degree, we don't join them. let's focus just a moment, shall we, on a particular crowd in the book of Acts, chapter 19. About the time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. The way, of course, is Christianity. For a man named Demetrius, and it's going to go on, men conspired together, utilized masses to do what? About that time, there arose no little disturbance. So a crowd is going to do some serious damage, specifically to the Apostle Paul. And they're going to do it how? And this will help us understand why we see so much of what we're seeing in the streets these days. Paul was actually hurting business. The major industry at that time, in that place, in Ephesus, was an idol, making stuff for idolatry and the sex trade. There was no little disturbance, the making of trinkets. There was no little disturbance because Paul was hurting business by persuading many that, quote, gods made with hands are not gods. So Demetrius employed three strategies to destroy Paul. See if these don't sound familiar. This will help you understand what's going on when you watch the images on Fox News, because you do watch Fox News, don't you? He created a tribe. He didn't go after Paul by himself, nor pursue legal recourse. Rather, he assembled a group of people, quote, gathered together his fellow craftsmen with the workmen in similar trades. He rounded up others who were bleeding money on account of the way, because he knew the power of the mob, and he needed a small one to beget a bigger one. Crowds gather crowds. We know that. It can be good, bad, or otherwise. And if you want to do something that is against what is being presented to you, you get a bunch of people together. That's what we're seeing in the streets, and it's on a different level besides just what we're seeing when a bunch of people run around with droopy drawers, breaking windows, setting things on fire. You're seeing mob mentality with the agenda that is behind so much of this in critical race theory. You got to divide people into little mobs, warring factions. That's what we're seeing, and that's what we saw in Acts chapter 19. Two, Demetrius did what all demagogues do. He gathered them together and said, that's verse 25, they speak, they persuade, they impassion. Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. This Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. They are a danger and a threat to us. Does that sound familiar?
Sure does.
The systems, the organizations, the Christians. When the craftsmen heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." What about this that made them enraged? Was it the threat to their goddess's fame? No, it was about wealth and loss. Demetrius and the craftsmen's chief concern of finances isn't visible once they move into the streets. Their mantra becomes, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." If you've ever read this story, they go on for hours. Mindless chanting. Perhaps you've seen some of these videos on the streets when people are doing damage to our neighborhoods. What are they doing? They're chanting slogans. They're chanting mantras. And then somebody who's thought through the issues approaches them and says, "So tell me, what does that mean?" "What? What does that mean?" Well, do you know that the statistics say, Why? They're just mindlessly chanting. Just like what we see in the book of Acts. "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And so they were just mindlessly chanting because they wanted to have some sort of a slogan. And it worked. Now, some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Sound familiar? Why? Because crowds are powerful. People join a crowd. It looks like we're on the right side of history. It looks like we're doing something really good. Mobs often depend on slogans, unspecified grievances, vague, if any, purposes for uniting. the little to no solutions for change other than destruction. They think with their rage, and many get caught in the tide. Something important seems to be happening. They seem to know, I gotta join this thing, and they do. Has anything changed? Answer, absolutely not. The city was filled with confusion. Most of them didn't know why they had even come together. They didn't even know why they were there. But there was a hidden agenda underneath it. It had nothing to do, really, with Diana. It had everything to do with money. So a crowd of people were being manipulated by a few. The clueless majority. By the way, I'm stealing this from Greg Morse. Nice work, sir. The clueless majority, not knowing why they were there to begin with, knew enough to shout down someone who sought to speak for 2 hours. What are we seeing in the streets? What Paul saw right before they beat him. Nothing has changed. And the only reason you and I don't join this current mob is because of the grace of God. Let that be an encouragement to you. And yet, let us learn a lesson, maybe from the people out in our streets today, but from Acts chapter 19, that it isn't necessarily good to be on the right side of history. We will demonstrate that next on Wretched Radio. And now, a ministry that I...
Early! Too early!
A ministry that I commend to you wholeheartedly. Have been praying for this ministry for 20 years. Why? Because of the amazing work they do. God saves people through the proclamation of His Word. He grows Christians through the studying of His Word. But people around the globe can't do that if they don't have a Bible in their own language. Enter Bible League International. They don't just run around the planet throwing Bibles at people saying, "Here, read this." They preach the gospel, they disciple them through Project Philip. Upon graduation, then they're given a Bible in their own language. So you, for just $5 per Bible, can be delivering a Bible in the language of a person who is a believer. Call toll-free 844-YES-WORD, 844-YES-WORD, and let's send some Bibles to Africa.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Another amazing story from Eastern Europe, Tomorrow Clubs.
One of the kids that came, I was a 12-year-old girl, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, "Well, you know, why don't you invite your mother to come?" She started coming, and at first it was really just to get gifts for her younger kids who had been taken away from her. But, you know, she'd come and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she'd feel the love of the leaders that were there. She started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and then the church started trying to help them. And they'd go to visit the home, and the father, I mean, he was just a hopeless alcoholic who really couldn't even leave the house. Believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and now the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
If you'd like to hear more stories like that, and who of us wouldn't, please support your own Tomorrow Club. $30 a month, 30 disciples in Eastern Europe. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. You can trust in God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He does not change. He is faithful to fulfill His promises, just as much today as when the Bible was written. You can rest assured
that his word is still true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are we really on the right side of history? This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've either seen or been scolded yourself for being so archaic, Neanderthalic, so patriarchal, so perhaps a skin color. And you are made to feel the shame of not being forward-thinking, for making progress. This is a tool. It's more like a club to bludgeon you into submission and to give up on your former values, to adopt what is new, what is cutting edge, what makes progress. This, to me, is another example of how Christians regularly need to stop and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean by progress? Why don't you define that for me? Because when we drill down on the word progress, chances are pretty good it's going to reveal something that is wonky. And if you have perhaps been pressured to get with the program because we've got to make progress, perhaps simply asking the question, well, what do you mean by that? Furthermore, to be on the right side of history, what does that mean? How do you know that we were on the wrong side in 2017, before we all lost our minds? Well, how do you know that that was the wrong side of history? How do you know that we're making progress? Trevin Wax, he's been writing some zingers as of late to help us think through this and to dismantle the tools that are being used to pressure you and me to start thinking in a progressive way. Not all progress is equal, writes Wax. A marriage can grow weaker over time, and the couple progresses to divorce court. Your body, it's progressing. How is it progressing, my senior citizen friend? Are you making good progress with your body? Or is it perhaps breaking down a little bit?
I'm not even senior citizen, and mine's already breaking down.
I can see it. It's true, though, but that's progress, right?
Yeah.
So all progress is good. That's what you got to make progress. If we don't make progress, we're just stupid and dumb like all of those people who lived about 8 weeks ago. We're making progress here. Well, not all progress is good. And by simply reminding people, well, wait a second, are you sure progress is actually good? Charting a society's progress can reveal areas of societal decay. Are we evolving or devolving? We're definitely changing. The question is, in which direction? Which, for my pre-sup friends, this is another opportunity to ask, well, how do you know? How do you know this is the right side of history? Where's your playbook? Where's your rules to tell us we used to be all stupid like this, and now we're getting all smart? Because why? Who says is the two-word question that regularly will pop a hole in their worldview? Secular humanism is the religion of who says, and it's biblical. It goes back to the garden. This was a part of the original sin. When the devil came to Adam, he was playing secular humanism who says. Did God say? Oh, no, silly. I say. And Adam bit the fruit and bit the lie and bought into wrong thinking. And that is what you see through out the every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Who says I got to do it like this? Who says I can't cut a concubine into 12 pieces? Who says this is wrong? Who says is a question that we should ask the person who says, we've got to be on the right side of history with these issues. Who says? And who defines these terms? The question doesn't typically get raised. Another problem is that the standards of progress change more often than we realize. You know, about 100 years ago, prohibition was progress. Oh, apparently not. Hold on, we're wrong about that. What about the women's suffrage movement? Damaging windows of saloons led the charge for temperance. Progressives were also champions of eugenics. That's being on the right side of history. We've got to sterilize people. because three generations of imbeciles is enough, said Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes in the Buck v. Bell case. That was being progressive. Hey, people are idiots, says who? We do. And therefore, we are going to be on the right side of history and sterilize them. That was progressive. Was that a good thing? Now we realize, no, not so much as a culture. Progress is not always a good thing. Progress sees the past as a problem from which we must escape, rather than a foundation upon which we must build. Biblically speaking, which view should Christians have? Should we be looking backwards or should we be looking forward? That was a trick question. I gave you an either or, and it's both. And that's the challenge that we have in front of us on a lot of realms these days, because we're dealing with issues about, hey, we've got some theologians in our past. They had some blind spots. Cancel them. No, that's what the world says. We say, all right, be aware of it, recognize it. But before we throw out everything with the bathwater, we appreciate the good work that they did do. And now we build on that. The current cancel culture just says cancel everybody who ever did anything that we currently deem, because we're on the right side of history, as being wrong. That's not the Christian view. We're not the cancel culture. We're the forgiveness and grace culture, and we know that people, fallible people, can do some good things and some bad things. And we weigh them and we balance them. Progress is seen as the only good thing for the secular humanist. Christian realizes, no, there's good things behind us. And we're going to build on that. And we're going to reform those things that were bad. We're not going to revolt and tear everything down. Says who is a really important question. The secularist sees the bad. It's just all bad. The past, and thinks it's all bad. It's terrible. It's awful. We got to get rid of it. We got to build a new thing to be on the right side of history. According to, I guess, us. The problem with progress like that, that type of progress, not genuine progress, it's linked to pride. And what happens to the person who is filled with pride? Little destruction is going to happen. So when we see secular humanists saying it was all bad in the past, I know how it should be for the future. Our way of doing it is the right way. It is loaded with pride. The Christian view is humility. The Christian view says, I don't know everything. I don't know how everything is supposed to be done. Pride manifests itself in the actions of one generation that sees the absolute moral clarity of all the sins of the past generation. Aren't we living with a moral lot these days? That they're defining that everybody in the past, if they said something, wrote something, did something that we currently deem to be terrible,
cancel.
They are done. That is loaded with pride.
You might as well cancel everybody at this point.
You have to. Karl Marx, by the way, socialism is out, because Karl Marx was a raging racist.
Canceled.
Should be. Well, not so. By the way, you want to hear a weird thing? Okay, so I'm doing the tweet thing. I can't even remember the conversation. And I went to find a GIF. Is it a GIF or a GIF? Has anybody resolved this dispute?
It's a GIF.
You're on the wrong side of history.
Oh.
It's now a GIF.
Who?
Me.
Canceled.
I typed in Nazi to find. I wanted to find somebody like a Nazi for whatever I was doing.
That's a safe thing to type in.
Nothing. There were none.
Wow.
So I typed in Hitler.
Hmm.
Nothing. No images of Hitler on the GIF. They're just images for everything. So then I typed in Lenin. Lots of stuff. A lot of images of Lenin. And most of it good, by the way. And then I typed in communism. Tons of stuff. Socialism. Plenty of
good things?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of good things. And Nazis? No. Hmm. I can't explain that either. Progress is also devoted to fashion and fads. Committed to seizing the spirit of the age and riding it to a better world, only to discover later that the spirit of the age is an enslaving spirit, a tyrant just as merciless toward us as the spirit that led our ancestors into error. The tyranny of progress drives you into a herd mentality, pushes you to run as fast as you can, wreck everything so that we can presumably make it better. But 10 minutes later, along comes the next generation and says, oh, you guys have got it all wrong. So we got to tear you down and you got to join our herd if you're going to be on the right side of history so that we can now have a progressive society. The answer can only be found in fixed ideals that are revealed, not created. That's Wax's solution. Are we going to go with what we make up or what is revealed? The kind of progress that counts aspires to a moral vision that is given to us, not one we create for ourselves. The Christian, we're okay with small p progress. But the only way that we know that we're deficient and needing to be improved is if we have a revealed word, not a herd mentality, who makes up the rules as they go, who are trendy, demanding, and entirely unforgiving. Secular humanism? No thanks. It's not a nice worldview. I'll take Christianity any day, because that's the right side of history. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, California pastor John MacArthur said this week that he's willing to go to jail for holding indoor services in defiance of coronavirus health restrictions, and that if arrested, he'll preach the gospel there too. A judge last week upheld Los Angeles County health restrictions and issued an injunction prohibiting indoor worship at MacArthur's congregation, Grace Community Church. On Sunday, the church held indoor services in defiance of that order. Although churches in California are allowed to hold outdoor services, MacArthur said Sunday the restrictions on outdoor worship would limit attendance to 350 to 400 people. The church has several thousand members. In news that's likely not surprising to many of you, on Monday of this week, Lifetime announced that two new holiday films for its It's a Wonderful Lifetime lineup include its first LGBTQ-themed movie, The Christmas Setup. According to A&E Networks, the film will feature real-life gay married couple Ben Lewis and Blake Lee as the main characters. A Lifetime press release describes The Christmas Setup as a feel-good LGBTQ holiday romance. Additionally, Lifetime will be collaborating with GLAAD, an LGBTQ media monitoring organization, because why not? The holiday-themed film will be written and directed by people from the LGBTQ community. Gotta keep it realistic. Good gracious alive. Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala, don't call me Kamala Harris, received a failing grade this week for voting in lockstep with the abortion industry on late-term abortions and infanticide. The F grade comes from the Susan B. Anthony List's National Pro-Life Scorecard, which ranks elected officials' voting records on pro-life issues. SBA List President Marjorie Dannenfelser said, quote, our scorecard shows that Democrats led by Kamala Harris are voting in lockstep in favor of late-term abortion, taxpayer-funded abortion, and even infanticide. Harris, who's a pro-abortion Democratic senator and former California Attorney General, supports abortion on demand and, of course, taxpayer-funded abortions. She also opposes religious freedom for all and once called a judicial nominee an extremist because of his membership in a prominent Catholic organization. Last year, she voted to block a bill to require medical care for babies who survive abortions. Infamously, Harris also prosecuted journalist David Daladin after he exposed Planned Parenthood's aborted baby parts trade. Because of her actions, Daladin is still fighting for justice in court. Radical abortion activism is becoming increasingly common in the Democratic or Marxist Party. According to the SBA list, every single Democrat senator running for re-election received an F grade on its new scorecard. Those include U.S. Senators Doug Jones of Alabama and Gary Peters of Michigan, both of whom could lose their seats to pro-life Republicans in November. Elections do matter, and they do have consequences. Make sure you vote in November. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word despotes, which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Brace yourself. This might not be as organized as it usually is. I couldn't even get that out with a straight face. This is Wretched Radio. If you have a short attention span, and frankly, who of us doesn't these days, you're going to love this mishmash. Story number one for your consideration. If you're headed to Austin, Texas, do so fully aware you're in danger. There are billboards being placed outside of some of these major cities where the police departments have been defunded, where they are warning you, enter at your own risk. I'm not kidding.
They're getting ready for Halloween?
No, I'm not kidding. A buddy of mine, I've been reading about this, and I actually saw a buddy of mine who was going into Austin, Texas, took a snap. That's the cool way to say picture. Took a snap of a billboard, and sure enough, for the next 20 miles, enter at your own risk. Yeah, this is a world I think I want to live in, where we have counselors to negotiate with people who want to do nefarious things. Yes, this is a brilliant system and plan. Austin City Council, not only slashing the budget, guess where they're redirecting it?
I cannot imagine.
Oh, yes, you can.
Planned Parenthood?
You read the story. How did you know?
I mean, I just threw a dart at the board.
So instead of defending life, we're going to aggressively take funds to end life. Okay.
That makes sense. It's 2020.
I'm feeling on the right side of history. I feel like we've almost arrived. This is unbelievable. The city's abortion services fund going up. Police being defunded. Zoinks, Scoob. 22% of evangelicals believe in gender fluidity. Wait a second. This can't possibly be right. Oh, it is. This is from that theology, state of theology poll. Do you remember Ligonier? Every couple of years, they take the time to do this. Good on them. None of this is shocking. If you simply follow, just read the Christian Post, Christianity Today. None of this is shocking. Disappointing? Yeah. Staggering? Not really. According to the state of theology, 22% of U.S. evangelicals believe gender identity is a matter of choice. Oofta. Could I just encourage you, dear mom and dad, start addressing this stuff earlier than you think. Last night, I had such a gas. I had so much fun. We went to a local church that was screening. Thanks for that, Luke. To screen some of Road Trip to Truth, which we are going to be releasing on November 1st. And we did that because we wanted to see kids react to big ideas and how would they digest this 13-episode series that we've produced. How would they engage with these issues? And here's what I've learned. They've already engaged. So issues of gender fluidity, issues of truth, postmodernism, the assaults against the Bible, they have already been fed those things. Just so you know, we were planning on saying things like, hey, get your kids ready for university. Get your kids ready for junior high.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're getting this garbage.
That's
it was
right.
Clear. The questions, I was so impressed with these young people. It was really encouraging because you think the next generation, well, they must be kind of thick because they don't believe the same thing I do. They're not thick. They're not stupid at all. No, they're not instructed well. They're not being taught well. But the young people that I meet on university campuses, believe me, their SAT score better than mine. They've just been fed trash. And what I saw from these church kids last night is you could tell by the questions that they were asking. They were genuinely asking, all right, help me to figure this out because I've already heard all this stuff. I've already heard that a pen can also be a pussycat. This cup can also be a kitty cat. All right, all of my references are feline. The point is, they are being hammered already with this stuff.
And no one's taken the time to answer those questions.
When I left, I was both happy and sad. I was happy because these kids clearly were interested in these conversations. The subject was truth and what is reality. And these were 6th graders to 12th graders. And they were actually engaged in talking about what is truth, what is reality, why are we here, who determines what is right and wrong. They were with it. In fact, this was fascinating to me. You can't judge a book by the cover. The young man Mike, because you were there too.
Yeah.
He was kind of that, I guess it would be like a green or turquoise colored shirt.
Yep.
All right, I'm standing in the back of this room where a bunch of youth are watching Road Trip to Truth, available soon at wretched.org. And he had his head down. He was kind of hunched over. And I'm thinking to myself, he couldn't possibly look more bored. So 7 minutes later, the first segment ends, and Luke gets up and says, so does anybody have any questions? Boom, that kid's hand goes up, and he was listening to the entire thing, and he was loaded with questions. Hey, what about this? How do you deal with that? What about this issue? He was all over. Don't think that they aren't paying attention, because let me tell you something. They most certainly are. And these kids want to know what is the Christian position. And in the meantime, we're putting whipped cream and peanut butter on everything we serve them up as if we're going to amuse them into the kingdom. So I left this both encouraged and discouraged because I like catechesis. I like that kids memorize the Bible and that they study questions. What is the chief end of man? And they can recite the answer to these questions. If I had my druthers, that's all we'd be doing with the kids. But here's the reality. Our world has our kids by the throat, courtesy of social media. This blessing is a huge threat to your kid. And they have been exposed to so many bad ideas. And if we don't have these conversations with them in youth group, we're missing the boat, Daddy-O. We are not addressing what they are thinking about. And yes, I know it could be argued, well, if they just memorize these things, it'll get in there. That is most certainly true. But if we don't help them to articulate their worldview and apply those things to what they are hearing and seeing, then we're not preparing our kids rightly. We can't get on this stuff fast enough. And I know that some of these conversations, wait a second, you're telling me with a seventh grader I need to talk about gender fluidity? The world already is. They've probably been doing it for years. Are you kidding? They read these books in libraries now, and you and I pay for it with our tax dollars. They're not unacquainted with these things. They're just not here on the Christian side. Is it any wonder we're losing scads of them?
Yeah, this is right in front of them on social media. I don't know if you saw Trevor Noah said the problem with gender, you know, we do these gender reveal parties. He says is that parents don't know the gender until the child grows up. So they're outdated.
Oh, I know it. It's
right.
Once again, the world lives better than its worldview. The world doesn't live in a postmodern world. They just adhere to those values so that they can do what? Dismiss morality. By the way, that's the first episode of Road Trip to Truth. The first episode of Road Trip to Truth is A equals B, and A does not equal B can't both be true.
Says who?
Law of non-contradiction says who. That's who says. And you can't go into an airplane believing I can fly and jump out. Reality informs you, no, you can't. And we all get those things. So why do we believe, these two women, this was just classic. These two young ladies on a university campus were confronted by John Fabares, who did a bang-up job, said to them, so is 2 plus 2, 4? Yep, oh, I believe it's 60. Well, no, that would be wrong. Why? Well, that's like math and science and stuff. Okay, what about killing 6 million Jews?
Hey, hold on a second.
Well, you know, yeah, see, they maybe didn't do things the right way.
As if there was a right way to do that.
Yeah, what can you come up with a better way to exterminate 6 million people? She realizes that when she goes to Starbucks, she needs to pay what the barista says. She can't say, well, I believe it's not. She lives in a world of reality, but what does her worldview allow her to do? Dismiss morality. And that is what is being fed to our kids. And let me tell you something, they're engaging and they're getting it. And if they don't get it from you, they're going to consume it from the world. Can't wait to show you Road Trip to Truth. In the meantime, the Southern Baptist Convention thinking about changing its name.
Tell me why.
Okay,
please.
Why is that? Okay, what is that good or bad? I read it and I went, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I mean, here's what I don't. When a church changes its name, it's like we're First Redeemer Church to Evolution Church, or you know, Overcomers Church.
Overcomers.
taking out any biblical reference. In this case, it seems that because of the Southern, it's a zip code issue, and the denomination happens to have been formed in opposition to Northern Baptists who didn't want slavery. And so at the convention, they're going to be calling it We Are Great Commission Baptists. And they're thinking about changing the name of the Southern Baptist Convention from Southern Baptist Convention to Great Commission Baptist Convention. What are they going to go with? Great Commission. Great Commission Baptists.
Ooh.
They're going to keep the word Baptist?
That's yet to be determined.
I'm not sure that's on the right side of history. This is Wretched Radio.
If you lament and mourn that over 3,000 babies are terminated every day in this country because of the sin of abortion, would you please visit preborn.org/wretched? Learn about a ministry that is holistic. It preaches the gospel to mom. She gets saved and it ends this cycle of unwed pregnancies, abortion, unwed pregnancies, abortion. The gospel puts a halt to that. And then when a mom sees an ultrasound of her child, 80% of the time she determines, that's my baby and I'm going to keep my child. That is what preborn.org is all about. And so if you mourn the wicked sin of abortion and its consequences, and I know you do, visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here today on Wretched Radio. We are always appreciative of your time. And hey, listen, be on the lookout for a new resource from Wretched coming soon. You've heard us talk about it. It's on the way real soon. It's The Road Trip to Truth, which will be hosted by Millennial John Fabares. He's the son of Mike Fabares. These episodes will be tackling tough issues that millennials struggle with. Subjects like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What about the supposed errors in the Bible? Is there only one way to heaven? And many, many more. We want to reach the millennial generation, your kids and your grandkids, with the gospel, and you get to be a fly on the wall. 70% of kids leave their faith when they enter college, and together we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just one more reason for you to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now, a word from Paul Washer.
If you offer me 1,000 partially trained men who, according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, do not really qualify for the eldership, or you give me the option of one church planter that meets the requirements of 1 Timothy 3 and is trained theologically, he is trained with regard to the exposition of Scripture, I will take that one man over 1,000.
If you feel the same way, would you please visit wretched.org/pastor to learn more about the Master's Academy International, 17 countries, Master's Seminary graduates training indigenous pastors to be theologians. Small investment, massive impact. Would you please visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. The Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are possibly listening, maybe, we're not exactly sure, but it could be too, the best, no evidence of this, but the best Christian talk show, perhaps.
You're really nailing it right now.
In the universe.
On this station at this time.
This is Wretched Radio. Oh, scientists discover possible hint of life on Venus. It's a possible hint. It's not even a hint. It's a possible hint, and yet it's being peddled as, there's life, and we know it. I was watching some guy being interviewed on CNN or whatever, and they did throw in a little bit of a disclaimer that, hey, this is an exciting discovery, that could lead to understanding we're not alone out here. Absolutely. Yep. You know, wouldn't that be exciting? And so the whole tone of it was, yeah, we're not alone out there because we've got a possible.
It amazes me that the possibilities and the small shreds of evidence for things gets people all into this fluster and they'll believe it.
We're not alone. Well, this is my belief about it. It's not just about finding life out there. It's about finding life out there to demonstrate that evolution could have happened here. That is what I believe is going on. It's not just what an exciting idea that maybe something out there is going meep, meep, meep. Trying to communicate with us. Oh, look at, we're more advanced, less advanced. We can learn something they can learn from. No, if we can discover any hint of life out there, it would demonstrate, look at that terrible planet. All it needs is a few billion more years, and it is going to be a blue marble in the sky. And that, to me, is the agenda. So here's the article. The other headline, one was from Daily Wire, the other from Discern. Scientists discover possible sign of life on Venus, revealing traces of a gas, we think, in the clouds of Venus could indicate, not prove, indicate some form of life on the planet. While researchers are not confirming that the detection of phosphine is absolute proof of life, they haven't found a better explanation for it. So apparently there's some traces of gas, they think. And they've only got a few options for why it would be there. And they've chosen, well, we think it's because there was life and it left it behind. That's what they're going with and presenting it as an absolute certainty. Phosphine on Venus doesn't necessarily mean life on Venus, the authors write. Guess what word is coming next? But the possibility of life exists because bacteria are the only known way of making phosphine on a planet without a gas's giant super high atmospheric pressures. So because we currently have a limited knowledge of how these traces of gas can actually exist, we're going to ascribe, yep, it's because something left them here that was alive. Maybe. It's just as possible that some previously unknown chemical process, however, is producing the gas. But how is this presented? We humans, we're building our Tower of Babel. We've got this figured out. This could be unknown photochemistry, say the authors, or geochemistry or life. So there's the three options. It could be unknown photochemistry, geochemistry. Do you hear how broad these topics are? Or life.
I don't even know what those topics are.
They're big. But we're just going to go with life because, well, we need funding and a grant, and that's how we get it, because everybody gets all excited at the idea of life because it proves that God doesn't exist. Information is lacking. As an example, the photochemistry of Venusian cloud droplets is almost completely unknown. So there's so much we don't know. They found what they think are traces, but they don't even know that for certain, and they're ascribing it to life. You smell that? It's not phosphine gas. It's grant money. That's what that is. Oh, boy. Here's an exciting statistic. If you are a social justice warrior, I'm afraid that your efforts maybe aren't paying off. I have been pondering this as you and I have all been getting hammered with social justice messages and how we need to tear down our culture and all of the issues that are surrounding it. I've been just quietly wondering, is this really going to help our culture advance with racial issues? And the answer to that is no. And there's a reason for that. It's not intended to. And the statistics are bearing this up. 30% of professed Christians are not motivated to address racial injustice. Now, you can't dive into these statistics because they're a little bit too vague. They're not as vague as the Venus life scientist speak, but nevertheless, there's a decrease of people who even want to address it that call themselves Christian. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what's motivating that, but that is actually a victory for whom? Social justice warriors. Why? Because this really is not about racial reconciliation. This is actually about dividing and conquering. That's what it's about. And guess what? It's working, because more Christians are saying, not all that interested in this. Don't know the motivations, but it is causing more division, not more harmony. Got to be careful with it. I get it, because what they're gunning for, a lot of evangelicals don't want. So they're rejecting that form of justice. I understand that. But when you recognize that critical theory is not about unifying, it is about using whatever issue is hot in contemporary culture, and right now that is ethnic issues, utilizing that to separate, to divide, because then you can tear everything down, people go to war with one another, and then in steps a powerful hand to quell the rebellion and to make promises that they can't keep. Just read the history of socialism and communism. Asked if they would take certain steps, if it would improve racial equality, practicing Christians said they would read a book about racism, attend diversity training, attend implicit bias training, take a course on race and ethnicity, support some form of reparations. All of these are about 40% said, yeah, we'll do all of those things. But here's the number that I thought was worthy of our consideration. And the percentage of Christians that said, in order to take certain steps to bring about racial equality, I would consider changing the type of candidate that I typically vote for. Do you know what the percentage is?
20%.
I wish it were 42%.
Wow.
That, too, is a goal of critical race theory, is to change the way people currently vote. It is unmistakable, and this statistic supports what we've been observing, doesn't it? That one of the agendas here is, hey, evangelical, I know you've been all hung up on this, you know, babies getting ripped apart in their mommy's wombs, but we got other issues here, and we're not making all that much progress anyway, and hey, look at these people, they are suffering, therefore it's okay to set aside the life issue. Nobody's talking, by the way, about the LGBTQ issues. Nevertheless, set all of those things aside, because we've got a vote for a person who upholds social justice values. And if you don't think that this is not something that has been worked on a lot by a lot of folks, this isn't a black helicopter theory. This is a pretty relentless effort to try to get people to not be so bent out of shape about babies being butchered in their mommy's wombs and vote for somebody who is promoting social values. That statistic, I fear you could take to the bank. What does that mean? That little demographic, which, by the way, this is one of the things that we see in our culture. Do we not see this now for years? What do they do on election night, on presidential election night? They take a look at every little county. They take a look. Oh, we're waiting for the votes for this county, and it typically goes this way or that way. But then they get down further and further. Karl Rove does this all the time. The Hispanic vote, the black vote, the women in the suburbs vote, the men vote, the white men vote. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's going on?
Educated white men.
Group, 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 group. What is it? What does that do? Separate, separate, yep. Separate, separate,
Vision.
Separate. And then what do? Then you get everybody pitted against one another, because we're not in this together. We're not the human kind. We're not the human race. We're the this, we're that identity. And then you can separate people. Isn't that lovely? By the way, one little quote from Samuel Say on the subject, as long as we're on it. It's not justice to justify criminals. Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. So when you watch your CNN, when you have to, because it happens to be on, and you see them celebrating people who are doing awful things, think Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. It's what we're seeing, isn't it? Our culture celebrating bad people, the worst of our society, are being lifted up and being claimed to be magnificent and wonderful criminals that get praised in our society. What is this? The book of Proverbs showing itself to be super wise again. from Samuel say, it's alarming that our culture is more outraged by good police officers who shoot and injure black criminals than they are outraged by black criminals who kill good police officers. Written, by the way, from a black man. This is another example of Isaiah 5. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.